Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new, brand new season of Ghoul Girls. Welcome back. Hello, everyone. We missed you. I'm your main ghostess, hostess, whatever the fuck you want to call us, alongside my beautiful star demon spawn of a sister.
Hi, it's me, Jessica. I am back, and I am still a demon spawn. Not much has changed.
But we appreciate it. We appreciate it. Well, welcome back, guys. We're revamping Ghoul Girls. This is our new season, episode 1. And let me tell you right now, this wasn't a spur-of-the-moment thing. We totally planned to come back eventually.
Oh, yeah. We were not 5 White Claws deep, and we did not decide it right then and there.
Yeah. No children were sacrificed in the making of this podcast, guys. So we wanted to come back and do something fun, and we're gonna have a weekly, hopefully weekly upload schedule, but you know, the world is kind of crazy right now. But we're trying. So Jess, anything spooky and interesting happening to you to introduce everyone into the new season of Ghoul Girls?
I think we're ready. Spooky season is upon us. I'm tired of sweating. I got sweaters that need to be dusted off. I'm ready for the rain. It's September, October, it's coming up. I think we're ready. I think Ghoul Girls is ready. We are coming out of the ashes.
But before we start coming out of the ashes, guys, we're actually doing kind of like a summer episode, I guess, because it's so damn hot. And since we're spicy bitches, we are doing our first episode of the new season on the wonderful mysteries and scary killers of Joshua Tree. Ain't that right, Jess?
I am. And you know what? I think it fits for us. Born and raised in Southern California, we've taken our trips to Joshua Tree. We love the desert. You know, I just complained about the heat, but we grew up in the desert. You know, we are desert little lizards. So I think this fits for us. I think this is a good welcome back episode.
Yes, a great welcome back episode. Our episode title for this round is going to be Doom in the Desert, because let me tell you right now, even if I'm out in the heat for in like 110 weather, I have fucking an AC blasted on my face. It fucking feels like death out there. I'll tell you that right now. It's horrible. I hate the heat, but I love to look at the desert. But like, it's pretty eerie out there. I mean, Joshua Tree has always had like a lot of spooky ass shit going about it, like, honestly, fucking fucked up out
there. And if you're like us and you're from Southern California, you're pretty much familiar with the Mojave Desert, which is the greater desert out here. And we grew up driving, hauling ass in the minivan through the night because there was no traffic to get from Southern California to like Nevada to visit our grandparents in the butt crack of dawn.
Yes. And
don't get me started.
What was the I thought our guests would like to know about the mysterious evil man with the shovel.
You mean our origin story?
Our origin story of Ghoul Girls, the man with the shovel, or that time we caught our stepdad prancing through the desert when he thought he saw a dead body out there. Remember
that
one?
We discovered bones. Yes. So
we discovered bones in a. Okay, first off, those bones were in a casket. I don't want to hear a box.
Shoebox. Okay, synonymous, I guess.
Okay. Not a shoebox. It was a big box. A very big box to a like 6-year-old child. Okay,
right,
I don't want to hear it. All right.
Big box. Backtracking a little bit. What I'm trying to say is, we're familiar, you know, and the vibe that the desert gives off, especially when you're there at night, the spook of it, just the eerie feeling, stars in the sky, nothing around, the sand, the desert, these weird ass looking cactus trees with arms, you know, there's just something about it. Am I right?
Oh, you're fucking right. Okay. You're very, very right. It's fucking crazy out there. I mean, I'm just saying, it's beautiful, though. It's a very beautiful place to be. That's why a lot of people take inspiration at Joshua Tree.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they're taking inspiration,
mushrooms,
huh?
But, you know, and I will... Yeah, they're taking a bunch of different stuff, but you know what? That's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to bring you the mysteries of Joshua Tree. Ooh. We don't have a soundboard, so we can't play like thunder, but if we did have one, it would be inserted right there. So just visualize it in your head, okay? anyways, so I was going to be the first one up with my story, and let me tell you right now, looking for my topic was very easy because I am a cryptid queen. I fucking love Bigfoot. I love scary monsters. I felt the force in that one. Everyone knows. I know, dude. Everyone knows that is my vibe. I fucking love spooky shit in the form of monsters. It's just in my DNA, okay? So one of the topics that was always like in the back of my mind that I really wanted to do for Joshua Tree was the story about the Yucca Man. Heard anything about it,
the
Jess?
The Yucca Man.
The Yucca Man. People say Yucca. I say Yucca. Yucca, Yucca. I know. The Yucca Man is the way it's pronounced. I've been saying Yucca. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I'm actually not familiar with this gentleman.
A gentle giant?
Yeah, you know what? I'm starting from scratch. Educate me.
I will educate you. Okay, so the Yucca Man is kind of like the desert adaptation of Sasquatch. So you got the big, basically 10-foot tall, hairy, but he is said to be less hairy than Sasquatch. Just keep that in mind. Big, hairy man, kind of weird motherfucker. And according to reports, the Yucca Man sightings were mainly popping between the 70s and 80s, which I thought was pretty interesting because during the 70s and 80s, you know where everyone saw the Yucca Man, Jessica? Do you know where they all saw him at?
Where'd they see him?
Near all the fucking government facilities where the fucking Marines were stationed at. Like, that's where they would see the Yucca Man, mainly around these, like, military, like, facilities and shit. And one of the things that I thought was pretty interesting was that the Yucca Man likes to play pranks.
He's a little mischievous devil.
He is a mischievous little man. Well, he's a mischievous big man. Big, hairy, 10-foot tall man. But, you know, he likes to play little pranks on people, which I thought was pretty cool of him.
He's 10 feet tall. He's hairy.
Yes.
He's not Sasquatch.
Yeah. He's part of the... Okay, so I didn't know this, but Sasquatches, there are species of Sasquatches. And the Yucca Man is actually part of the mule deer Sasquatch species. Yeah, like, he's part of, like, that type of... They compare him to, like, a mule deer. Whatever the frick that is, you know?
I didn't even know Sasquatch were part... deer.
No. You guys can look up what the mule deer looks like and then give me your best interpretation of whatever the fuck that is. The first earliest reports of the Yucca Man was in 1971. And the source of who reported this is kind of strange because it was a Marine at a government facility, which is fucking crazy. The Marine was on, like, a guard duty at the base in 29 Pimes, which is another, like, city in the desert. And guess where they found him? They found his ass knocked out, and his rifle was completely bent in half.
Oh, from the Yucca Man.
Yes, he's fucking buff, okay? He's a very, very buff guy. Okay, and so, let me tell you what the story goes. So, supposedly there was a Marine who was on duty guarding the base, doing his Marine duty, stopping
duty.
Whatever the hell's out in the fucking desert. Shut up. Duty. And basically he had heard some type of, like, kind of like a big running of feet clattering about the base.
Is that a scientific term? Big running of feet?
You know what? Okay, look it.
And it's not Sasquatch?
Okay. Okay, listen, okay. Anyways, so basically what he was saying is that a creature began to, like, approach him while he was on guard. And the main thing that he remembered from this thing was a giant mass of hair.
Ugh.
And he said that basically this big giant creature walked up towards him as he was commanding his, at his command post, and the creature stopped and lifted the rifle against him, then snatched it, bent the rifle in half, and basically knocked the guard unconscious. He was found later in the morning after his shift was over, and they found him knocked unconscious. So he was a little, they said he was a really groggy, barely had any of his senses. The CIA and the FBI were both brought in to investigate, which I thought was pretty cool, because if the CIA and the fucking FBI are investigating a 12-foot-tall figure that this guy had reported that basically knocked him out and broke his fucking rifle in half, it must be pretty similar. Also, there was reported that there were two similar sightings of the creature the same exact night.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It was in a report that the huge figure was also accompanied by a little looking creature that was similar to it, so maybe it was a baby.
His baby. Bring your baby to work day.
Exactly. You know, the Yucca Mans are very family oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there was a lot of reports of dogs barking basically all through the night. So it was like a whole neighborhood of unusual shit that was happening around. So it's like, okay, so you got this guy just doing his duty, guarding the military base. Big old hairy Sasquatch-looking motherfucker comes in, punches him, breaks his rifle, then punches him. Then you have reports of people seeing these creatures basically the same exact night, you know, running around the desert. Dogs are on alert. Like, come on, man. That's a pretty scary fucking thing to have to deal with, you know? And also, another thing that was interesting was later in that year, they also had reports of a hairy man roaming the hills of the Joshua Tree National Park. So I thought that was pretty fucking interesting.
Same description.
Same description, big, hairy, massive man. This other sighting that I wanted to talk about was in 1979 when a couple was... Basically, they were taking a little, you know, night car trip in Desert Hot Springs. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that place. It's another place in the Mojave Desert. It's very beautiful, honestly. But they were on one of the roads, basically driving back to the condominium in Desert Hot Springs. All of a sudden, a creature stepped out from like a yucca bush, which is like basically what these yucca mans are named after. But anyway, so he stood out in front of the car, and they described this creature as giant, and they said its chest, which I thought was really interesting, so I'm going to include it. They said his chest was the size of a fucking refrigerator. I don't know how refrigerators looked back in 1979, massive, but I'm assuming probably. They look pretty fucking massive, okay? They're fucking huge. And another thing that I thought was interesting is that they said that his arms hung below his knees. So he had these really massive, long arms. They also said the Yucca Man was covered in long tan hair. And they said within seconds of him stepping out in front of the car, he took off in front of the bushes. Or took off into the bushes into the night. He was also, which I thought was interesting, was that they reported that they were having like electrical issues in their car during that time. So, like, the radio was turning on and off, which I thought was really interesting, because in a lot of Bigfoot sightings, like, in other parts of, like, the world, one of the things that people say is that when it comes to, like, Bigfoot stuff, their electronics always get a little fucked up. So I thought that was, like, an interesting observation that they had made. It's also really telling, like, how each region has its own version of, like, a Sasquatch, you know? We have Sasquatch, the Yeti... the Swamp Ape, and we have the Yucca Man. I thought that was really fucking cool. And they all have similar characteristics, basically like the long, long torso, big body, you know, all that other like weird kind of, I don't know how to describe this big massive man, I guess. Anyways, so the Yucca Man later that same exact year in Hemet, California, which is also in that same area of the Mojave Desert, they had reportedly found footprints left behind by the Yucca Man. There were 17 footprints in total, and the footprints were a foot and a half long and 6 feet apart. So that's fucking weird, in my opinion.
Jeez, another thing that's like a big stride.
He got fucking the most monstrous thigh gap I've probably ever seen in my life. Jeez. I mean, that's the the most I can tell you. Later that year, two Bigfoot researchers went and they tried to find the Yucca Man, but they didn't really find anything, which I thought that was pretty fucking crazy. Like, you have all this shit happening, like, simultaneously one after the other, which is, it could have been, like, the Mojave Desert's version of, like, Satanic Panic, but with the Yucca Man, because there were, like, a lot of sightings and a lot of reports. The next one I'm going to read to you guys is a little bit more crazy, because I didn't know that the Mojave Desert was connected to Big Bear. Did you guys know that? I did not know that.
To Big Bear?
But then again, yeah, like, it leads into Big Bear. So, basically...
I need a map.
Yeah, so, basically, people have connected this sighting of the cement monster to the Yucca Man, which I thought was pretty interesting. And this cement monster, that they call him, was actually spotted near Big Bear Lake. So there's, like, basically a legend in the Lucrine Valley, which is what basically connects those two areas together, is believed that this monster lives inside a deserted cement factory.
Oh, cement man.
Cement monster.
Cement
monster. What do you think I said?
I heard cement, but it didn't, like, register that it was a
monster.
I'm like picturing like a Scooby-Doo monster in my head.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, Jess. That's exactly what it was. Anyways, the monster was first witnessed by two servicemen in 1988 that were returning from a lake. And basically, one of the servicemen reported that the creature was so huge that only its lower body was visible when the creature crossed in front of their car.
Jeez.
So, the serviceman's name was Kent Fox, which I thought was a really cool fucking name, just saying. I'm kind of going to read you, like, what his report was. So bear with me. I thought it was really interesting. So you guys are going to listen to it too. So Ken Fox says that, this is what he said. I used to be stationed at 29 Palms from 86 to 89. I spent a lot of time in the Joshua Tree Monument, but never saw anything of real interest, if you know what I mean. Where I did see something was with my Marine buddy Mike in the spring of 1998 after leaving Big Bear Lake. We had been snowing and skiing all day at Big Bear. Now that you probably know, the quickest way to get to 29 Palms is to take the shortcut route through the desert. I believe it goes through or near Apple Valley. It eventually comes in way back to Yucca Valley after passing through Landers. Yes, you know that highway, right? Okay, here goes one of the coolest things I ever saw during the 1980s. Mike and I had just left Big Bear. It was about 9 p.m. We were completely down the mountain and entering the desert, still kind of going downhill. On the right-hand side of the road, there was a cement factory sort of by itself. This is like... I'm trying to do trying so hard not to do voices, guys, but it's hard.
I like
okay?
it. Soothing.
Anyways, there isn't any civilization for around 10 miles or so, which isn't uncommon in the Mojave Desert. Mike was driving. I believe I saw it first. From the left side of the road, something very large seemed to stand up on its two legs and run across the road. The bottom half looked human, covered with hair. The top half wasn't very visible, but appeared monstrous. Scary, in other words. The headlights only got to the bottom half, and the damn thing ran about 150 feet in front of us. It made it across the road in 3 strides. I distinctly remember seeing its arms pumping back and forth, just like any of us was sprinting across the road in front of a car. It appeared to be 8 feet tall. Now for the interesting part. I didn't say anything. I just kind of glanced over at Mike. He had just kind of glanced back at me. Then we both looked right at each other and said, "What the hell was that?" "That was the cement monster after him." Mike slammed on the brake and turned around. I started digging through the old glove box looking for his wife's pistol. I said, go down the dirt road, still look for the pistol. About 300 feet, into the dirt road was the old cement factory, but no sign of the thing that ran out in front of us. So we drove around a little bit, didn't see anything. We talked about it a few times before our enlistment was over, but the strange thing is we just kind of accepted that we'd simply seen some sort of prehistoric man, and that was that. It was no big deal, and maybe someday we might have the privilege to see another.
Privilege to see another, but the guy grabbed the Glock. He wasn't trying to see another.
Okay, look, I will say, this is just my own opinion, I will say that these two men have the biggest balls of any person that's ever encountered anything, because their first thought was, we saw some weird shit.
We need to go shoot it.
Like, that, in my opinion, is pretty fucking badass and way more believable than people just being so, like, oh my god, scared and stuff. Like, these motherfuckers were like, we're gonna go catch that shit. I don't give a fuck what you say. We're going to get it. Which I thought was very, very interesting. But yeah, those were some of the stories. I was scavenging around Reddit, and I did find a Reddit post that I thought was really, really interesting. So basically, this one happened about 4 years ago, which I thought was pretty cool because it's actually pretty fresh, 4 years ago. So basically, this four friends were driving, and they tried to camp. They were camping out in Joshua Tree, and they ended up pitching their tent. They were doing this illegal, by the way, so I thought it was really interesting that he even tried to share it, scared not to get arrested. So these four friends basically set up their tents, and maybe at about 2 or 3 in the morning, they heard loud footprints basically walking around their tent. At first, they figured it was maybe like a bunch of, what do they call them, like rangers?
Yeah.
And they were going to tell him to pack up and leave, and the girl that he was with was kind of telling him, let's just wait it out and see. He said that one of the weird things about it was that there was no flashlight. So there was no light. It was completely dark. And they just heard these very, very heavy, like, footsteps. He actually compared them. He said that they kind of sounded like a coyote, but 100 times bigger. Like, the way that they walk, I guess, the strides that he was saying. After that, they waited a few more minutes, and then once they felt like they had had enough, the man pulled open the curtain to his tent, shined a flashlight around, and there was no one there. So they think that he thinks that he may have encountered, like, a yucca man that had been stalking their tent, which that was just a little one I wanted to throw in there for modern times.
Ooh, okay.
You know, but from just what I could find out, a lot of people have seen strange entities inside Joshua Tree. Some aren't sure if it's, like, you know, the yucca man or a ghost, or they think that there's caves in the Mojave Desert, which I thought that was really interesting.
Well, there are mines.
Yeah, there
are tons of mines.
I was reading this basically a story where they were talking about how people think that there's, like, abandoned cities underneath like some of the, like, basically they're like catacombs, like, all throughout Joshua Tree and Death Valley. So I thought that was pretty cool. Like, basically, like, they converted the mines into, like, their own little, like, creepy, I guess, city.
Like,
which I thought was really interesting. Yeah.
Like, transients converted, or, like, people just decided to make a city out of it, or?
It was actually, so basically this is what I had, this is what I wrote down for my notes.
Sure.
So, like, for centuries, there was, like, a legend of an underground city and an ancient race in Death Valley.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like, basically it was the kingdom of Shin-U-Vav. I can't pronounce it. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm butchering it. Which means God's land or ghost land. So, yeah, it was really interesting just, like, to know that there's always been different types of tales of, like, you know, just shit that's pretty fucking interesting in, like, that Death Valley and all that fun stuff. But yeah, that's what I have for the Yucca Man. If you guys want, there are pictures that someone had taken of the Yucca Man. They're supposed candidates of him out there. So I would really encourage you guys to go look them up or see pictures of how people describe him, because it's pretty telling how similar it does look to, like, Sasquatch and the Yeti, which I thought was pretty fucking cool. So that's it for me. Jess, you want to chime in here? Any thoughts on the Yucca Man?
Yeah. What do you think? That's wild. I think it's wild that he can interfere with the radio, first off. I don't know how they have any sort of, like, electromagnetic field to them. I think that's a little suspicious, especially since they come up around these government buildings.
Yes.
And they, and also, a little red flag that goes off for me is, in the first story that you shared, when he encounters the military man and he knocks him out, how does this Yucca Man, also kind of like a display of his intelligence, right? How does he know, number one, how does he know what a gun is? And how does he know to disarm the man and bend the gun? Right?
Yeah, I mean,
how honestly, does he know, like, how does he know guns are bad? Guns kill people. Let me bend this gun so it doesn't get me.
Yeah. From what I was reading, they said that people see him quite a bit. Even in, like, the 1970s, people were already reporting sights of him. So maybe he had already been watching mankind for so many years. He just kind of knows. I mean, obviously, he's an intelligent creature, so...
Oh, he's like, I know this one.
Yes, he's like, these motherfuckers.
He said, you're not going to catch me slipping.
In conclusion, the Yucca Man, I believe, is very, very real. So if you guys are ever camping about in Joshua Tree or just spending the weekend out there, keep your eyes peeled for any big hairy monster man entities out there.
And not, you know, the ones you bring with you.
Not the ones that you bring with you, of course, of course.
Okay, last question.
Yes.
Who do you think would win in a fight, the Yucca Man, the cement monster? Go.
Well, the cement monster, they described as only being 8 feet tall. The Yucca Man, they described to be about 10 feet tall. So I feel like the Yucca Man might have a little bit of a, like, a height advantage. But then again, cement monster can go for the knees and the groins. So I don't know. it's a tough call. It's a tough call. I don't think I can choose, but I will probably put my money on the Yucca Man.
The Yucca Man. We should.
He has backup.
We should do an episode. And you know how, like, celebrity boxing is, like, a big thing? But we should do it for cryptids.
Do you remember celebrity deathmatch?
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh God.
I'm not very great with claymation, stop motion, claymation. But I can do my best.
You know what? That sounds like a pretty cool thing. Actually, you know what? I think a podcast that I listened to was doing something like that.
Oh, really? Damn, they beat us to it.
Damn, I think they beat us to it. I think I distinctly remember. If I'm mistaken, I'll let you go, but I'm like 90% sure.
I was so excited to make a tier list. Who would win in a fight?
Oh, you know what? We could actually make a tier list. That would be pretty cool. Anyways, you know what? We're getting off track. These are things that we're probably going to do for our new season of Ghoul Girls. But I want to hear Jessica's story. I'm pretty sure you guys are all excited for it, too. She has the most beautifulest voice out of us both. I know it's hard to believe, but...
Oh,
wow. I give her the floor, Jess. Please tell me what you've researched for our spooky Joshua Tree episode.
Yours was so fun and exciting. Well, guys, get ready because I'm about to dampen the mood. It is not going to be fun. I'm going to tell you that right now. First, we're going to get a little sad. I don't know if you are familiar with the name Laura Ann Bradbury. Does that ring any bells?
No.
No? Okay. Well, this is a book, or the name of a book. Laura Ann Bradbury, A Father's Search. It's a book that came out in 2010, and it is a book that Michael Bradbury wrote about his daughter.
Oh.
So, Michael is the father of Laura. Laura Ann Bradbury actually was 3.5 years old when she went missing in Joshua Tree National Park.
A baby.
Yeah. Like I said, really going to dampen the mood on this one.
It's okay.
So, big mystery surrounding Laura's disappearance and kind of dampening the mood, but this kind of is going to open up into a bigger discussion I kind of want to have with you.
Go.
Into the question, is there a serial killer haunting, not haunting, roaming, stalking, terrorizing Joshua Tree National Park.
I'm fucking all ears, Jess. You're like amping me up. I'm on the edge of my seat. I need to know. Let me hear
it. Okay. So this case, this goes way back. This is 1984. Okay. This is a campsite, Indian Grove Campground in Joshua Tree National Park. This is a very popular campsite. Still a lot going on in this campsite. Always booked. I was in Joshua Tree maybe 3 years ago. Always filled. Lots of families coming in and out. Super populated. People come from all over the place to camp at Joshua Tree. So at nighttime, Laura goes out with her 8-year-old brother, and they're going to go to the porta potty bathrooms near the campground. He goes to the bathroom, leaves Laura outside while he does his business. When he comes out, she's gone. Now, people are searching for Laura. It's said that over 250 people have searched this campground for her. Searched through the park, not just the campground. They had bloodhounds. They had volunteers. They followed footprints, what they believed to be were made out of her flip-flops. And they searched those flip-flop footprints for about 2 miles using those bloodhounds. And they tracked it for 3 days. Nothing. They did have suspects. They have some witnesses to have claimed to have seen a man in a van entering the campground. Someone mentioned that they saw a similar man in a similar van a few hours later. You know, a lot of talk. Nothing really concrete. The case to this day, unsolved. But she goes missing 1984. Well, 2 years later, in 1986, a skull and some other remains are found. They're found by hikers. And this is kind of a reoccurring thing in Joshua Tree. If you're not familiar with Joshua Tree, California desert, it is expansive. There are hills, there are holes, there are lots of rocks, and then it's flat. A lot of it is hard to get to. You need to be an experienced hiker to get to some of these places. Other places, you can walk straight for 10 miles and not see a single bump or a hill. You know, that's just how it is sometimes. And if there's a body out there, odds are, if you're not hiking or you're not looking, you're not going to find it. Her body was found by hikers towards the west entrance of the park. This was only 5 miles from where her family's campsite was.
Only 5 miles, you said?
Only 5 miles. And this was discovered 2 years later. Keep in mind, this is 1986. There is no DNA testing at this time. They just simply don't know. So
that's so sad.
Yeah, it's horrible. You know, I can't even imagine how her brother must have felt. 8 years old.
And they found her 5 miles? And her remains, do you know if they searched that area already? And nothing there at the time, right? That's usually how it goes with these things, honestly. It's fucking crazy. But sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go continue.
It's okay. No, it's all right. So 1990 rolls around. We have new technology, right? 1990, DNA testing suggests that the remains might be hers. Now, her family, heavily devoted. That's why her dad wrote this book, right? Super devoted. They want to have answers. And they want to know, is this Laura? So in 2010, new DNA testing is done, and they do confirm this is her. Horrible, and I hate to say this, no arrests were ever made. The case is actually still deemed unsolved. I bring up this case because it's really interesting to note that while searching for Laura, another person went missing.
Oh, shit, really?
Mm-hmm. So during the search for Laura, a man named Jim Nestor went missing. So there is speculation. They're not sure what happened, or I'm not sure where to begin. So prior to his disappearance, before he went missing, he did help search for Laura. So allegedly, he was shot at and threatened while he was helping with the searches. People speculate that his disappearance might be related to Laura's. That's why they speculate that this might be a connection to a serial killer. Maybe he was near the crime scene. Maybe he got too close to something. And I don't want to speculate. It is the death of a man. It's tragic. But a skull was found in an isolated canyon in a remote area. And then 2 weeks after the skull was found, it was identified to be this man, Jim Nestor.
They didn't figure out how he died because it was already a while ago, right?
Yeah, because he was missing, and then all that was found was his skull. And then it was later DNA that revealed it to be him.
That's so fucking weird that he went missing during that time when the little girl was missing. Like, mm-hmm. That's a bit sus, you know?
It's
a little sus.
It is, and that's why I want to ask another question. It's hard to say, because with Laura's case, definitely screams homicide, right? You know, witnesses believe that they saw someone in that area. She's found 5 miles. That's undeniable. How can she even get that far? It's insane. You know, someone... It's speculated someone must have picked her up. It's tragic. For Jim searching for her, in Jim's case, people want to say maybe he got too close to something. Was it the work of a serial killer? In another hand, you could argue maybe he just got lost while searching, which is something to consider, especially in places like Joshua Tree, these national parks. A lot of people...
I've heard it is easy to get lost in there. So, I mean, I can understand that point of view, I suppose. Yeah.
A lot of people come into these national parks, let it be Yosemite, let it be Zion, Joshua Tree is no different. And they're not experienced hikers, they're not experienced outdoorsmen. And they decide to go hiking. And lo and behold, they get lost. They hurt themselves, they fall, they go too far out there, they get turned around, and unfortunately they get stranded and they end up dying from exposure, from a fall, from animals. And a lot of times when we hear about hiker found dead or person, you know, a lot of times with mental health issues, we'll go out to Joshua Tree for like a retreat, go on like a short hike unprepared and then die. A lot of us want to yell, serial killer, how can this person die in the park? So it's another thing to consider. Is this the work of a serial killer for a lot of these recent cases that we've seen? Because within the last couple years, we've had about 6 bodies turn up in less than 2 years. And Joshua Tree's gotten really popular, especially because of the COVID pandemic. A lot of people want to be outdoors and get their tan on and experience nature. And so we kind of have to determine, is this the work of a serial killer? Is this the work of unprepared hikers?
Or is it something else? Yeah.
Yeah. Or is this people experiencing a mental health crisis and going into Joshua Tree? Or is this the work of, you know, an ungodly, awful person? You know, it's something to consider.
Yeah, I think that's so tough because... we know people who are in law enforcement, and I did ask them, you know, what are some strange things they've had in regards to Joshua Tree. And they did tell me that the story about the body that showed up like on the side of the highway in one of the highways in Joshua Tree. The cops were searching. Someone kept reporting this dead body there, and they kept searching and searching and couldn't find it until one day just... the same place they had been searching for the last 4 days. It was just there all of a sudden. It's like, what the fuck? Like, just weird shit like that. But I have heard different, like, whispers online about a serial killer in Joshua Tree. So that was pretty cool, Jess. What the hell?
I personally, with a little digging, I think there may be a serial killer in Joshua Tree. And I don't wish it. You know, I... did read a little article kind of speculating that any given time there are, you know, a number of serial killers operating in the U.S. And it's not something to be taken lightly. I think especially us as women, we got to stay vigilant. But in Joshua Tree, it's no different, especially in these places where you're often alone and isolated and you don't have service. It's something to consider.
And it's hot.
Mm-hmm. And it's hot.
He makes people do crazy things. That's all I'm saying.
Right?
Motherfuckers are crazy in the desert. I'll say that right now. Not even lying. No cap.
Right? But it's definitely something you gotta keep an eye out for.
Of course. Of course. But I mean, I think that if there really was a serial killer, the police would not advertise it being a serial killer. Just because I feel like it would cause a lot of panic. I feel like we wouldn't even know if there really was a serial killer roaming our streets, you know? Who's gonna tell us that, you know? The police aren't gonna confirm it. So, like you said, just be careful out there, guys, especially when you're hiking in that area. It's a very scary situation to be in. Like, we actually took a trip to Joshua Tree last year, right? Right, Jess? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we took a trip to... And it's very... It could be very eerie just with how dark it is and how away from civilization, or not civilization, but how far away you can be from cities and not even realize.
Right.
You know? And I mean, I think we know our way around pretty well, like our family, but I can't imagine like having to be out there and not knowing which way you came, which way you left, and then you go missing and you're being eaten by the Yucca Man. You never know what's out there, guys. Right?
And definitely honestly, making a point of telling someone where you're going, who you're going with. And yeah, you never know what's in the desert. Especially, I don't know if you remember the case of the woman, Lauren Cho, who went missing in Joshua Tree last year. I think around this time last year.
No, I didn't hear about this.
Yeah, apparently she got into like a fight with her boyfriend, and she was reported to her family that she was just having a lot of mental health issues, and that she went off to Joshua Tree to kind of decompress. And she had walked away from the Airbnb that she was staying at, and she had walked off onto a trail in the late afternoon, last time that she was seen. She left behind all her personal belongings. She had just walked off onto this trail, and they searched for her for months. But while they were searching for her, because they didn't find her for a few months, they actually came across another set of skeletal remains that were not hers. So in the search for her remains, they found a set of other remains that are still being investigated. So they haven't released any information about the remains that they found, but they did find her remains.
God, that's so crazy. Like, what? So they still haven't found her body?
They found her body. Her body was recovered.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. Months later. But again, how far did she get on foot?
Those are crazy. And you know what? I think those kind of cases are very similar to, like, the missing 411 cases and the other national parks, which we have to do another episode about the missing 411. I love that series with my whole heart, because I think they put a lot of heart into it, you know? But yeah, that's fucking interesting. I think Joshua Tree is a very mysterious, very paranormal place. And I think a lot of people don't realize what an influence that has, like, that part and that culture has on, like, the rest of California, you know? Everyone knows that there's creepy stuff that goes around in Joshua Tree. There's even UFOs out there. I can't tell you how many UFO stories I ran across doing research for the Yucca Man, just looking at paranormal stuff of Joshua Tree, UFO sightings and alien abduction stories too. Also, don't even get me started on the cases of the skinwalkers running around in the trees and stuff. Like, that's fucking interesting, you know? You never know what's happening out there.
Yeah, it's very, very unsettling.
It's pretty unsettling. So let me ask you this, Jess. If you had to show down against a Joshua Tree psycho serial killer or the Yucca Man, who you throwing down with?
You know, I think this is a safe space, right? This is a safe space. I know we've all had this fantasy. I don't want to say fantasy in like a positive tone. It's not positive. We've all had this what if scenario, right? Like, if someone came at you, you're like, what would I do? How would I survive? I think I'd make it. If a Joshua Tree serial killer came at me, I think I'd be all right. I'd out crazy the crazy.
I love that. Out crazy the crazy. Mm-hmm. What?
And even if I didn't, if I come at it with this confidence, I think I got a chance.
Just be super confident in what you do.
Yeah.
You know what? I would agree with you. I don't have any beef with the Yucca Man. I think he's just a little prankster. Big prankster. You know, I have no beef with him. I have beef with this possible serial killer of Joshua Tree. I think I can take him. Like Yucca Man, we could tag team him.
Yucca Man, we were talking about earlier. Yucca Man, no confirmed kills.
I love that. Not that you know of. What if he's the one who's making people disappear in Joshua Tree?
Oh, man. What if we're talking about the same person?
Oh, my God. What if? What if?
Oh, Lord.
What if, man? Oh, dear Lord. Exactly. I'm just saying, like, I think that there are very mysterious happenings in Joshua Tree. I would like to personally go camping out there and maybe do a little ghost hunt. Bring our Ouija board out there. Talk to some spirits. I think that would be pretty cool. But also, I'm a giant pussy, so take that proclamation with a grain of salt, okay?
Oh, no.
Basically, we just wanted to kind of explore more paranormal stuff with Joshua Tree. Like, I hadn't really heard a lot of people talking about the Yucca Man, so that's the reason why I wanted to share that story. Just because, like I said, there were a lot of stories about, like, you know, Wendigos and, you know, fucking UFOs, but I was like, the Yucca Man needs more exposure, and I'm gonna give him all that exposure.
You know, I was surprised you didn't mention aliens.
I was on the edge of my seat. I really wanted to, but I was like, no.
My last trip to Joshua Tree was like aliens this, aliens that. So when you brought up Yucca Man, I'm like, you know, maybe I don't go to Joshua Tree as often. I'm not paying as much attention when I went. I don't really remember seeing much about the Yucca Man.
Yeah, because
underrated. What an underrated cryptid, huh?
I know. I mean, he fucking bent a rifle in half. Like, if that's not a show of strength, then I don't know what else is. Also, the fact that he's playing pranks and just fucking with people. I think that that is hilarious. I encompass that type of attitude in my everyday life, you know? But aside from the Yucca Man, I'm not glad to hear true crime, but I fucking love true crime. And I'm glad for our first episode, we did a jokingly funny topic, kind of, and mixed it in with a very true crime, you know, like serious topic as well. I thought that was pretty cool.
Little discussion on why you should always look over your shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you as a woman in this day and age, you have to look over your shoulders, whether you're looking out for serial killers or giant hairy Sasquatch desert folks. Yeah. You know?
I think it's chilling and a little alarming how often hikers in Joshua Tree just stumble upon remains.
Yeah, you know, that is also a really interesting thing. This is kind of like a little tangent, guys, but I have heard so many stories of just bodies being found inside Joshua Tree, or like cars randomly, random abandoned cars out there. Even Death Valley is fucking insane how many, like, they don't even know how many dead bodies are actually in Death Valley, because they don't recover a lot of them. You can imagine why. But no, I mean, I just think that that's really interesting. I hadn't heard those stories yet, Jess. So thank you for enlightening me. And I'm going to go dig into more true crime spirals of Joshua Tree. Thanks, Jess.
You're welcome. You know what? I think now's a great time to mention that I actually have a bumper sticker on my car that I got from Joshua Tree that says, "Hike safely. It's a good day not to die."
Oh, shit. Really? I don't think I've seen that in your car.
I'm going to have to put that on our Instagram.
Yes, please do.
Oh yeah, at Ghoul Girls on Instagram. I'm gonna send that to you. We're going to put that on the Instagram. Oh, yeah, little visual for you.
Yeah, check it out, guys. I have a Joshua Tree bumper sticker, too, and it says, "The devil loves rock and roll."
Dope.
A picture of the devil with his little devil horns jamming out to some rock and roll.
Now that you say that, I have a Joshua Tree hydro flask and it has Halloween stickers on it. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's cool. See?
Look at us.
Look at us. We rep Joshua Tree. We love it out there, you know?
Yeah. Way to represent.
We represent it so hard, guys. But anyways, folks, I mean, that kind of concludes our first official season 2, episode 1, Doom of the Desert. episode. I said episode one too many times. But once again, guys, for this, kind of to give you like a little teaser, we want to try and get like a uploaded regular schedule. And maybe if we can get our juices flowing, we might even be able to do a, if Jessica's down, we could even do like a podcast live, which is something I want to work on. But honestly, just like get ready for some super spooky stuff. Follow our Instagram. Jesse, do you happen to know our Instagram title, our Instagram handle? This is a pop quiz for her, guys.
Yeah, at Ghoul Girls.
Almost.
Here. At here, Ghoul there Girls you go. Here. Because we're here.
Yeah, we're here. So we have our Instagram handle at Ghoul Girls Here. We also have a Twitter, which is same thing, at Ghoul Girls Here as well. Also, we are starting a TikTok. So we can watch Jessica twerk her way into the hearts of all paranormal creatures. Just kidding, Jess.
I do it for the Yucca Man.
But our TikTok.
Our Tiki Talkie.
Our Tiki Talkies is Ghoul Girls Pod. So feel free to follow us there. And just look for any more updates, guys. You know, we really appreciate everyone who's tuned in with us and given us the encouragement to continue our drop into the paranormal. Like, I appreciate it. And thank you guys for sticking around. Jess, do you have any closing words you want to give our people?
Feels good to be back.
Feels good to be spooky. All right, Jess. Bye, guys.
Bye.